Well, I want to take just a moment before Pastor Chaz comes up to talk about, to share some things with us about Jesus being our healer. I thought this morning, I felt of the Lord that it would be good to share a few healing testimonies, because we love to share testimonies here. Number one, because testimonies glorify God. Hallelujah. Everybody here in the house ought to be a testifier. And so that's why we're always encouraging people, when you have a testimony, take time to write it down, turn it in so that we have it, we can share it, but that you can share it with others to give God glory. Then we also know that testimony just stirs our faith. Amen. To see what God has done for someone else, knowing that God is not a respecter of persons. And so if God did it for someone else, then God can do it for you. God can do it for me. Anybody in the house here today? And so we had just a couple of testimonies that came in very, very, very recent. A week ago, Wednesday, I had just come back from Australia and was just spending some time sharing testimonies and things about the ministry that had gone over there. And we had a healing testimony that came in, and it said from Wednesday's service that while Pastor Johnny was talking about healing during her trip, I had pain in my right kidney. And just when she was talking about the healing, I got healed from the pain. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Before I left for Australia, this healing testimony came in that a member here had brought a coworker with them in February who had someone sick in their family. And so at the end, they came up, asked that we would pray the power of God into the cloth. You know, the Apostle Paul, that was done in chapter 19, I think, where the Apostle Paul, it said that handkerchiefs and aprons that touched his clothing or that touched him, then they would take it to people and people would be healed and delivered. And so this church member brought a coworker who came on behalf of someone who was sick and brought a cloth, just asked that we simply pray the power into it. That was in mid-February, late February. Well, right before leaving for Australia, the testimony came that they took that cloth, and the co-worker said that when the cloth was laid upon their leg, they emptied leg or legs, I don't know if it was one or both, that they instantly went back to normal size. Hallelujah. So the power of God is working. And I just wanted to share with you a few other testimonies that have been more recent, just to show you how God is at work. And God is not at work just in one time. I mean, we already see that someone got healed through a cloth. Someone got healed while just something was being said. Here we had a testimony one time where in the beginning of service, as worship was going on, someone was here and they were up front, had a lot of pain in their hip, found it very difficult to walk. And just here in the front right here, as they were worshiping God, no hands laid, nothing. We got into the presence of the Lord, and they were healed right there in the middle of worship. Hallelujah. I always tell people, when you come to church, from the moment you walk in the door, participate. Participate fully in everything that goes on and expect God to be at work. We had two Wednesdays back to back, where we had people that came in. One had an extreme pain from a tooth. A problem they had had, and it had kind of rooted the pain in their body. We had another very young, like 11-year-old, that had back pain. And just before service even started, in the greeting time, just someone greeted them, hugged them, didn't even really know, just the hug. And during the hug, they were healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is exciting stuff. We had someone in a healing service that had come up, and they said they had ringing in their ear. This had almost been for like 2 years they had ringing in their ear. And as Pastor Chaz was saying something, he had the church make a declaration. And just during that declaration, he said he could sense the power of God, but he wasn't real sure. But later on, he was ushering and helping people at the altar, and all of a sudden, he recognized that all the ringing in his ear had left. Hallelujah. Praise God. Last healing service, we had things going on. One thing I love about God is that nothing is too big for him, but nothing is also too small for him. And so we had someone that had had a lot of bad congestion and had been dealing with it for a while, and confessing, and actually finally just decided to go to the doctor and get some medication. After the medication, they were a lot better, but just still had a little bit. And they were sitting in healing service that day, and they were thinking, well, I'm okay. You know, I just have a little bit of congestion left. And the Lord actually spoke to them and said, go up front. I want you to get the rest of your healing. Hallelujah. And they came up front, and sure enough, they walked off completely well. Do you know that God is interested in you being 100% well? Hallelujah. In that same service, we had someone who had had a food allergy for 10 years, and they came that morning and decided that when the healing line came, they would come forward and be healed. Sure enough, they got totally delivered. They ate that night, no allergic reaction. 2 weeks later, they proved it again. So God eradicated an allergy of 10 years right in the midst of the power of God. We had someone that service, last healing service, whose lungs got cleared. We had another person who had pain in their back from a kidney issue that got healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is the healer. You know what I think? I think that the Bible is true. I think that Jesus is the healer. I think that Jesus is still the same today as Jesus was when we saw walking in the earth many days ago in the Bible. And I believe that today, Jesus the healer is going to heal you. Hallelujah.
Glory.
I got it.
You got it? Glory. I agree. Today's your day. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Did anyone come expecting to get healed or delivered or set free today? All right, let's make it the day. Let's make it your day today. It can happen. We're going to have several chances for you, but just make sure you don't walk out until you're well. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come to you. We invite you in, and we ask you to do wonderful things for everybody today. We thank you so much for this new covenant in Christ. Thanks for the blood of Christ. Thanks for the word of God. And thanks so much for the Holy Spirit. And today, we know that you're going to work miracles and confirm your word with signs following, and that you'll deliver people and heal people and help people today because you're so good to us. You're so good to us, Father, and we thank you for that. We acknowledge that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Open your Bible to Mark, the book of Mark chapter 1. Well, we are going to look at a few scriptures today, but just be prepared that you could be well and healed and delivered at any point in the service. I really enjoy the stories of somebody was just there and all of a sudden got healed in the middle of a meeting, the preaching, the music, something like that. I remember when I was first called into the ministry and left my career, I remember sitting at my desk and I had this inspiration, I had this desire, I could see this, and in my heart I felt like this would be so special. I can see that this is going to happen in my future. And I drew the picture that I saw on a little post-it note, a little yellow post-it note. And the picture was of a congregation or a crowd of people at a meeting. And I drew the little faces. And then I drew the stage. And I drew me on the stage. And I drew a person getting out of a wheelchair at the front. Or no, getting out of a wheelchair somewhere during the message. Like, the word of God to me was so special, so powerful, so real, and that God would do what he said every time, that it could happen during the preaching. And I saw that was going to happen. And the unique thing about my little post-it picture was I was wearing cowboy boots, because back when I got into the ministry, I wore cowboy boots a lot. And so that was it. I'm going to be wearing cowboy boots. I'm going to be preaching the gospel, and people are going to get healed during the message. But to me, that was very special that could happen. And not long after that, maybe 2 years after that, I was in New York City with R.W. Shambach. And we stayed over after the 10-day tent crusade, and we preached in some churches. But the first church I preached in, this big church near the crusade grounds, big crowd, I'm preaching the gospel, teaching people how to heal the sick, how to receive healing. And all of a sudden, this lady started hollering in the middle of the meeting. Just started, and it got louder and louder and louder. And finally, I just quit preaching. I'm like, go ahead. And she starts praising God and thanking God and getting real loud. And I said, and then finally she died down. And I had stopped preaching for like 60 seconds just so she could have her thing. I said, tell us what happened to you. She said, well, I had a tumor in my stomach the size of a baseball. And it just disappeared. Well, when she told that story, the whole place erupted. The whole place erupted. Everybody jumped up to their feet, and they started running down to the front. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, you don't have to run to the front. She got it just sitting there. You could just stay right where you're at. They scared me. They were running like a herd of sheep coming up to get prayed for. And so I knew I had to be quick, so I began to pray for people real quick and yank their arms up. And I remember like several people, you know, I just did these wild things, and they're like totally free and totally healed. The place was going crazy. My little post-it note, check mark. To me, though, it's so special that it's all true, it's all real. Many of us have received by ourselves at home. We've proved it to ourselves that it's real. Many have been had hands laid on them, and they got healed instantly, and it's so real and so wonderful. Some got healed gradually, had a real miracle. It's so wonderful to realize it's all true. Now, God does want you to believe it before you see it. But after you fully believe it, you'll see it. So today, I think that God's going to deliver people and help you today. So let's just eliminate all the worry and fear right now. Just eliminate all the dread, all the, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What's not going to happen? What am I going to see? What if I don't see? Just forget all that and just think about God being so true. He's invisible, but he's true. His word is truth. Jesus' name is still here. Jesus is still here through his name. And so I want you to touch him today. In the Bible, everybody that touched him or everybody that he touched were healed. So I just want you to touch him today. Just with your spirit, with your heart, reach out and touch him in a way that's okay. Just say okay. Just say okay, Jesus. Okay. You do have to receive from him. So as you're sitting there, if you're inspired by the word of God in some way, just respond to it by yourself. Just say okay. 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 I received that. Okay. You feel a little tickle in your spirit, a little leap in your heart, just okay. Okay. Boom. And then receive what you need. Okay? Mark chapter 1. Glory to God. Mark chapter 1. We're just going to read a few healing stories from the Bible. And you get to see a few attributes of the miracle itself, the healing itself, or of Jesus, or words spoken. You get to see a pattern. You get to see some secrets to being healed by God. It's not just a coin flip. It's not just a prayer into the wind and we all hope that God's in a good mood. You know, prayer is not you trying to coerce God to do something he doesn't want to do. That's not what prayer is. Prayer really is you laying hold of God's willingness to heal. You lay hold, he is willing, you lay hold on that. Here we see it right here, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Praise the Lord. All right, let's dissect it just real quick. Notice he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. And if you ask Jesus if he's willing, he'll say the same thing. You understand that, right? He's willing to heal you. You need to believe that. You need to actually humble yourself enough to believe that. Some people think they're so big and tough that he might not be willing to heal you. You're not so big and tough. Just humble yourself all the way down to the bottom and just, okay, he's willing to heal me too. I'm not so special. My sin is not so special. My shortcomings are not so special. Just humble yourself all the way and know that he's willing. And then look what it says. He moved with compassion. Look, Jesus knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. and he is compassionate toward you. You just need to be in a place to get it. So just decide that you'll get it. He's compassionate toward all of us. He's never going to withhold his mercy and compassion for any one of us. That includes you. That includes you. That includes everybody in here. He's willing and compassionate. He'll move with compassion through us, through another person, or just straight from his spirit. He'll move with compassion. And then look at verse 42. He touched him. Verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Immediately he was cleansed. Some miracles happen immediately. We're going to read several stories that they happened immediately. You walk through the Gospels and a lot of them happened immediately. Almost all of them happened immediately. So let's have some immediately ones today. Let's expect it when you come up here. Rather than coming up for prayer, rather than expecting to get prayed for, why don't you expect to get instantly, immediately well? Come on, we need you to do that. God needs you to expect something so that he can do it immediately. I mean, immediately may be right now where we see it. It may be in an hour. It may be in the next morning. But let's expect it now so that we get some now. If everybody's expecting it next week, we won't see anything immediately. I mean, occasionally God will override some stuff and we'll get some accidental ones. But let's expect it. Expect it for your people. Expect to see God move. Praise the Lord. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Immediately, skin problems disappear. Immediately, your skin troubles can end right now. Immediately. Anybody have a skin problem? Step out in the aisle. Just get it immediately. Let's just get it right now. He'll heal you right now, immediately. Any skin problem, let's just help people right now. Did you come up for prayer? Did you come up to be healed? Well, then stay there. Don't be backing up. I'm going to walk out and just do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have something? All right, in the name of the Lord Jesus, no more. You, in the name of the Lord Jesus, no more.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, no more. Out. Out. That's it, sister. In the name of the Lord Jesus, no. Come out of her. Loose her. No more. You'll see it no more. You'll see it no more. You'll see it no more. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Inflammation. Stand up if you're dealing with that. Just stand up where you're at. Inflammation. Inflammation is no more. Inflammation, I rebuke it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I refuse it and rebuke it out of everyone in here. Right now. Right now. Right now. You feel that? Right now. Right now. Do something. I don't know where that would be, but just do something. Poke it. No more. I refuse it. I rebuke it. No more infirmity. Yeah, if it was in your legs, man, I'd be running or jumping or dancing or something, or at least moving. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum. After some days it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. You know, we ought to see some of that occasionally here, where it's so packed, can't even get in the building. Amen. It would be fun, wouldn't it? It would mean stuff's happening, so let's just make stuff happen. And he preached the word to them. So notice how you got to preach the word. He preached the word to them. You got all this crowd. What are you going to do with all this crowd? Well, you got to preach the word to them. There's something real valuable about this word preached and taught. You got to like it. You got to love it. You got to recognize there's value in there. He always went about teaching and preaching and healing. Well, he's healing people today. I wouldn't miss it today. This is it. They came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." What a strange thing to start with. First of all, notice what's happening here. People were so desperate. These four plus the sick one were so desperate, they broke all the rules, broke the roof open, kind of ruined the whole meeting with dust and straw falling on everybody. But that was sincere desperation, wasn't it? Amen. It would help if you got a little bit desperate. If you could just get a little bit desperate. Amen. For God to heal you. Right. Not just to be healed. Everybody wants to be relieved of pain. Not just desperate to get fixed, but desperate that God would do the fixing. Just a little bit, if you just get a little bit desperate, a little bit decided, a little bit determined, a little bit persistent, a little bit, you know what? Nothing's going to stop me from reaching God's power. I mean, that's the decision. It's nothing's going to stop me, not even a crowded building. I'm breaking the roof. Now, don't be messing with our roof. You'd have a hard time getting through this roof. There's other ways to get in. And we're not talking about just a display of, you know, just to show off that you're desperate. We're talking about a heart that says, you know what? I must have this from God. I will not stop until I get it from God. Everybody, y'all can just do what you want to do. I'm going after God. And when Jesus saw their faith, he began to minister. When Jesus sees your faith, he's going to minister to you. When he knows your heart. When he sees your heart is determined, when he sees your faith step out, when he knows if you're really grabbing hold of this. And when he sees that, woo! But notice he first dealt with his sin. Son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, why would he do that? Well, I believe that there's clear evidence throughout the New Covenant that you got to deal with people's sins sometimes before you can help them take their next step with God. You need to know you're forgiven in order for your conscience to be clean. In order for you to receive promises, in order for you to step out in boldness. If you have a guilty conscience, you'll never do any of it. So he dealt with the man's conscience right here. Because when you feel guilty before God, it is almost impossible, probably impossible, for you to receive. So how are you going to deal with your guilt? Well, you need the Bible to tell. First of all, Jesus told the man, your sins are forgiven. So a minister or a believer could tell you, your sins are forgiven. And that expression helps you have faith for that, and then boom, you feel forgiven. Or you at least receive that forgiveness. Or you could have the Bible tell you that if you've confessed your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of unrighteousness, and then bam, you're ready for your miracle. Some of you need to know that no matter what you did last month, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how wrong you've been, no matter what you feel guilty of, the blood of Jesus is enough to care for your sins, erase your sins, and set you upright before God today. Today. So I'll just tell everyone in here, if you've received Jesus Christ today, if you've received Jesus Christ, then today you're forgiven of your sins. Hallelujah. I mean, if you don't have any remorse for your sins, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking for everybody that cares that you've offended God in some way. Just simply admit it in your heart. Whisper it out loud if you have to. And then boom, you're forgiven today. You qualify today for a miracle. And then they got into an argument, you know, why does this man, verse 7, speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God only? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit they reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? So which is easier? Well, they're the same. He's asking a rhetorical question. What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or do the miracle? Well, they're both miracles. So which is easier? Your sins are forgiven, which we just did that, or arise and be healed. Which is easier? I'm going to show you how easy they both are. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them. They were all amazed and glorified God. We never saw anything like this. Immediately. He just did it. Immediately, he just did it. He arose. Immediately, he arose and just went home. So what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven you? Because we already did that. That was pretty easy, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Didn't I just have us all, didn't you receive that when I said your sins are forgiven you? How easy was that? It was easy, right? So what's easier, that or to say arise and be healed? Well, let's try it. Everybody who received the forgiveness, I'm going to tell you right now that every single one of you in here can arise and be healed right now. Arise and be healed. It's just as easy. Arise and be healed. Arise and be healed. It's just as easy. Arise and be healed. Arise and be delivered right now. Right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, arise and be healed. Now don't go home yet. Don't take up your bed and go home. We need you to stay for just a little longer. But make sure you receive right now. It's just as easy. Praise the Lord. Maybe close your eyes, lift your hands up, close your eyes, and don't think too hard and just receive. Don't think, just receive. Just be grateful and receive from God what you need, what you need, what you need. So easy. So easy. It's so easy. It's so easy. So easy. Thank you, Lord. Okay, have a seat. Have a seat. Take a deep breath. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just take a deep breath. Praise the Lord. All right, he's healing people today. We'll get testimony at the end, so check yourself before the meeting ends so that we can hear from you. Look at chapter 3, Mark 3, verse 1. He entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Praise the Lord. Jesus got grieved and angry at these stiff-necked people who don't care. And then he turned that anger into power. You can do the same thing. Find something other than your spouse that you're angry at. Turn that around. Okay. Why don't you get some anger against the sickness, the disease, the pain. Get some anger against the thing that is bothering you. Realize you're not supposed to have that, so get mad at it. Get mad at it. It doesn't belong. You go outside and there are mosquitoes biting you, you get mad at them, don't you? And you start swatting yourself because you're so mad at them. Well, why don't you swat the devil? Get mad. Get some anger in you about infirmity. Pain. Torment. Get angry at the devil and turn it into power against him. How do you do that? In the name of Jesus, out! No! No! Mm-mm. I mean, you don't have to get quite that loud. I'm just trying to show you. You turn it into power using the name and the power that you have. Hallelujah. Mark 3:10, "For he healed many, so as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him, and they cried out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those who he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons." I just wanted you to read this, that Jesus didn't keep all this power and authority to himself. He gave it to his disciples. And on the day of Pentecost, he gave it to every single believer when the Holy Ghost came. So just in case you were wondering, well, but that's Jesus. But he also shared his power and authority and his name with all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Mark chapter 5. And when you tell somebody your sins are forgiven, it's not really you doing the forgiving. We know that. You're saying a truth in the name of Jesus. And he said, whoever sins you remit, they're remitted. So when you see somebody is in the right place, you can inform them your sins are forgiven. Somebody who's opened up to God and has some sense of conviction, you simply just tell them your sins are forgiven. You don't have to go to a preacher or a priest to get that. You don't have to go get the official, I got to go get forgiven from, not from a man. The only reason people get involved is just to help you in times when you need the help. Other than that, you go straight to God, you get forgiven by yourself. Mark chapter 5, start with verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians, and had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." That happens even in Houston, Texas, when we have the biggest medical district in the whole nation, I believe. And people spend all they have, and sometimes they don't get any better. So at some point, whenever you want in the process, you can just say, okay, that's it. I'm going to go to God. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only touch, may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Lungs, lungs, lungs will be healed. Lungs will be healed. Lungs will be healed. Lungs, lungs. Lung infirmity disappears today. If you have a lung problem, come up here. Come up here right now. If you have a lung problem, come up. Maybe even smoking, maybe from the past, whatever it is, damage, I don't care. Lungs, lungs will be healed. Come up here. In the name of the Lord, we're going to help these. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands up. I rebuke it. I rebuke it. I command the lungs to be healed. I command the lungs healed. Right now, in Jesus' name. Right now. Take a deep breath. That was it. Take a deep breath. A bunch of them. I rebuke it. Feel better?
Receive it, yes.
Feel right?
I do. I feel right.
All right. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke this thing. I command it gone. I command it gone. The lungs healed. The lungs healed in Jesus' name. No more. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Back to 100%. 100%. 100%. Jesus' name. 100%. All right. Glory. Praise the Lord. Okay. When she heard about Jesus, Mark 5:27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague or that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You've heard the story. Let's take a peek at a couple very important factors here. First of all, he looked at her and said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. Your faith healed you. So her faith healed her. Your faith can heal you. That means you have something to do with this. In this case, she had everything decided before she even got to Jesus. Notice this. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd, touched his garment. Before she said, if only I... may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Notice this little phrase here. She said, if I, most Christians think to themselves, if he, most Christians think if he, I think somebody touched the light accidentally. Sorry. I think most Christians think to themselves, if God, no, why don't you put some responsibility on, she said, if I, don't put it on the minister, don't put it on Jesus. His will is set. You decide for yourself. If I can get to church on Sunday morning and go up during the altar ministry time, if I can get to that altar, I shall be made well. You see the difference in thinking? How most Christians don't think that way? We think we're waiting on God for everything. She would have died if she sat at home waiting for Jesus. Well, I heard about Jesus. I hope he comes by here. I sure hope he can come by my house. I sure hope Jesus. That's where so many good people, good Christians fail in getting their prayer answered. They keep thinking that God is like ignoring them and like doesn't really want to mess with them, and that they're going to try to convince him with their sweetness. Oh, God, if you would please. How about let's change it up. Like she said, if I can touch him, I get it. What's amazing is she did it and touched him, and he did not even know she was there until after. You can touch God's power by yourself. It's all ours. Jesus had really nothing to do with this except be there. The power snuck out of him. Somebody touched me. Wow. I haven't had anybody chasing my jacket. But as believers and as ministers, yeah, we want to make sure that we're close to the Lord and full of his power, just in case. Just in case I'm walking down the hall, going out to my car to go eat after church, and somebody comes and sneaks a little pull. I'm making fun of that, but it could happen. We know stories of it happening. Definitely. Stories. Ministers, somebody came and touched them, believing, I'm going to touch and get it, and they got it. Come on, this stuff's real. It's all real. This is not joke. This is not fake. It's not fantasy. It's not just mythical. It's not old. It's not, well, that was Jesus' day and that was the apostles' day. No, Jesus is alive today. The apostles are alive today. In the earth, believers are alive today in the earth. Everybody with the name of Jesus has access to these seemingly fantasy type stuff, which is what everybody wants anyway. Everybody wants supernatural. Every human wants a supernatural something. That's why they have a Hollywood movie industry. We want to make up stuff. That's why everybody wants to go to outer space. There's something in us. I know we don't. I just mean, We want the supernatural. There's something in us. This is it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I do like to make mention that she decided how she was going to be healed and when she was going to be healed. You ever tried that before? If you're sick on a Sunday morning, why don't you try it? Instead of saying, well, I can't go to church because I'm... Instead of that, how about, you know what? I'm going to church, and as soon as, boom, the first song plays, why don't you decide something? Now, we know that prayer has no distance limitations. You can pray for somebody around the world and they get healed. But don't live your whole Christian life with distance faith. Like sometimes you need to get in the presence. Sometimes you need hands laid on you. Don't just do the, y'all pray for me, I'm going through. No, go somewhere where somebody can pray for you and lay hands and pour some heart out for you in person so the power of God can sneak out of their clothing, their hand, their heart, their spirit. So if you follow this lady with the issue of blood, it's like a ticket for a miracle. It's like a pattern. It's like a, here's the strategy for you receiving from God. You could use this. You don't have to. There's other ways. Here's a great strategy for you to receive your miracle. Number one, she decided and she said it. She had sickness. It was a dirty sickness. It was a long-lasting sickness. And then she decided that if I can get to him, I will be whole. And she said it. For she said, if I can touch him, I will be made well. So you need to decide and say it. Say it to yourself, whisper it out loud, say it to your friend. I don't care who you say it to, just say it. Don't just think it, say it. Because your words will help you make it. Like that's what she did. She said, if I can get to him, those words she said out loud is what anchored her to make the journey from her home through the crowd, pressing through everybody. Those words helped her make it. You need to say the words because it sets your course.
Amen. Yep.
Decide it and say it.
Yep.
Number two, she acted. She acted. Decide it, say it, and then put some feet to it. Don't ignore the problem. Don't just sit there and ignore it and twiddle your thumbs. But you got to launch out looking for Jesus. Now, physically, you're not going to have to look for Jesus. That's the good news. But the bad news is you can't see him at all. So it's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. And this is where people stumble over this. But you still got to get to him. Amen. So launch out searching for, I'm going to make this connection to Jesus. Uh-huh. It might be through quoting a scripture. It might be going to church, getting hands laid on you. It might be learning how to praise and worship and receive your healing during the music time. But the bottom line is you're going to have to go after the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, he's not far from you. He's only 18 inches from your head. He's right here in your spirit.
Right.
His Holy Spirit's right here. Jesus is here, the God is here, the Father's here, you're here. He's not far. Well, one scripture says that we might grope after him and happily find him. Well, he's not far. He's not far from any one of us. Acts 17, I think, says that. He's not far from you, but you do have to go look for him. He's like really close. He's like the closest one to you, but you do have to go look for him. You do have to take some steps toward him to get what you need from him. So number one, she decided and said it. Number two, she acted on it. Number three, she received it. She received it. There's a moment when you get hands laid. There's a moment when you confess a scripture. There's a moment when you make connection with God, when you do the receiving part. So when you get prayed for, don't be praying. Just be receiving.
Right.
Anybody ever watched American football? Anybody? Our group here at Houston Faith, we have the least football fans in the whole nation. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to give my analogy anyway. Quarterback throws the pass. The receiver runs his route to get open. And then what does the receiver do? He puts his hands out, keeps his eye on the ball, and catches the ball. He's the receiver. I mean, have you ever seen a play where the receiver ran his route and didn't know the ball was coming and bumped him in the head? That's not receiving. And that's what a lot of Christians do with God. They're not ready to receive. They're just coming up, just bouncing around. Just boom. I mean, they wouldn't even know it if they got something. Here, the ball's coming to you. The power's coming to you. The word's coming to you. It's like, open, you gotta get ready, you gotta get this, you gotta latch on, you gotta grab this ball. You need to make some acrobatic catch. So you have to receive it. A lot of times people don't know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing. Because the power of God and all this invisible spiritual stuff is hard to grasp sometimes. We don't know what we're doing. It's like, wait a second. We need to help you learn how to receive the power of God. Sometimes people come up and like, I don't know about this receiving the power thing. I don't want to fall. I don't appreciate that falling stuff. I think there might be shoving people. Well, it's because people don't understand. They don't understand how to receive. I don't really care if you fall or not, but just receive the power. And if you'll receive the power, there's no telling what it'll do to you. You might jump 5 feet in the air. I don't know. I remember the first time somebody laid hands on me like that, and I was standing like this, and I didn't fall. My feet came out front. Boom, poof. I don't know if anybody caught me or not, but I just remember I was watching my feet go floof, floof. I remember this maybe the second time I was in a meeting like that, and I stood, and the minister said, "Lift your hands." And I lifted my hands. He didn't touch me. I lifted my hands, and I just fell over. I didn't try to, didn't want to, didn't think about it, but the power of God hit me because I was hungry for God, and I was open to God, and I wanted whatever He had for me. So you need to be willing and humbled enough to say, you know what? I'm confident with God enough to receive, and I'm going to expect something, and I'm going to get healed, and I'm not so big and bad that I can't be healed by God. You're not the only one in the whole world that can't get healed for some reason. No, just be the one that can. Amen. You know, people think, well, you know, I know so-and-so prayed and they didn't get it and I don't know why. Look, I don't care if everybody doesn't get it, I'm getting it. Yeah. I found the Bible. I got the word here. My first time to be healed was through the word of God. It was through the word. It was like, okay, well, this for me, right? That one's for me. I didn't know there was another Christian. I knew there was one. Two, three. Two ministers and my mom and dad, four, who believed in the healing power of God. That's all I knew. Four people in the world believed in it, and I found it in the Bible. I said, okay, well, I'll take it. You should be the one. The next, so first you got to decide it and say it out loud. Then you got to act on it, and then you got to receive it. And then after you're well, you need to tell it. After you're well, you need to tell it. You need to be vocal about what's happened to you. Now, don't do it prematurely. Don't testify of the miracle before the miracle. Don't do that. That doesn't help the miracle. It actually just puts more pressure on you because you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I told everybody I was well, but I'm not well. Don't do that. But after you are well, it's part of your life testimony until you go to the grave. Once God heals you supernaturally, that's part of your life testimony. And I say you tell it until you go to the grave. You've heard my stories? I'm going to keep telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them because it's real to me, it glorifies God, and I don't want to ever forget it. And if you'll learn how to be real free and thankful and grateful, you'll see that you keep your miracles. That's one of the secrets to keeping your miracle, keeping your healing. So many times people get healed, feel a difference, and then they start wondering the next day or two or ten, it's like, ugh. Do I feel it? I don't know if I feel it. I don't know if I feel it. Do I still feel the pain? Now you're all focused on trying to find the pain again. And then you lose it. Rather than just, why don't you talk to yourself for a while? Thank God. I know I got something. I feel different already. I expect this all totally well. Thank God for it. And then within 3 weeks, it's all gone and you can be really vocal to other people. So don't be premature in testifying. But on the other hand, don't neglect testifying. Hallelujah. So easy, right? It's as easy as getting your sins forgiven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're not going to read it, but over in Luke 13, Jesus made this lady was bowed over and couldn't lift herself up. And Jesus touched her and said, "You're loosed from your infirmity." She had an infirmity, a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity, and was bowed over and could in no wise lift herself up. It was a spirit of infirmity. Sometimes health problems are actual, you know, lowest form of demons, blobs. Spirit of infirmity, just a blob that found a place to live, and it can live even in Christian bodies, and you need to evict it. So Jesus evicted the spirit of infirmity and she could stand up again. Amen. Joint problems many times are blobs. Spirits of infirmity, blobs that mess people's joints up. Yeah. And then later on, then he had to argue with the Pharisees. They're upset with him for doing it on the Sabbath. He says, "Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, we're all sons of Abraham by faith. Ought not this woman who has covenant with God be loosed from this bond on this Sabbath day? He said, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? I look at every Christian and say, all of us who Christ paid for, whom Satan has bound, shouldn't we all be well? I think we should. I think you can. Please stand. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands to Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Se brova, se brova, se brova. Tumors, growths. Tumors, growths. Tumors and growths. Tumors and growths. Step out in the aisle. Step out in the aisle. And we'll help people with tumors and growths. In Jesus' name, they're going to disappear. They're going to disappear. Tumors and growths are disappearing, whether they're cancer or not. Tumors and growths are disappearing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got one? Lift your hands up. I rebuke it. I command it out of her. Out. 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 Praise the Lord. Lift your hands up out there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, let's go ahead and thank Him for everything that's happened so far. Be real grateful to Him. We love Him. We thank Him. We praise Him. Grateful to God.
Come on, praise Him like it's already done. Praise Him like you already got the doctor's report. Come on, praise Him like it already happened. Come on, be real thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We've received it. It's done. Thank you, Lord. Come on, praise Him like you're ready to testify. Come on, like you're ready to send in the report. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, laugh a little. Come on, the devil's been defeated. Ha, 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 ha.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise
glory.
The Lord.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Michael, come. Come right here. Come right here. You see this man right here?
Yeah.
You know what happened years ago? He was in the hospital dying. Dying. There was like no hope for him. It was over. He was, and his wife looked up and found that at Houston Faith Church, we were having a prayer meeting. And his wife came and they prayed for him. And look, how many years ago?
Three years ago.
3 years ago. He's been healed of cancer, praise the Lord. Now he's in the house of God, serving God, praise the Lord. Jesus is still the healer. Glory. He has a life testimony, praise God. Thank you, brother.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Raise your hand out there if you got something today from God, if you got healed or something. How many of you felt the power and got healed today? Anybody get healed?
Praise
Raise your
Lord.
Hand if you got healed.
All right, we want you to go home today or get in the car today, and we want you to write your testimony. And then you don't have to send it. You don't have to send it in until you know for sure, for sure, for sure. But we'll write. Go ahead and write your testimony. Go ahead and write it down. Go ahead and, like, we believe it. It's already done. Amen. And then you send it in. Hallelujah. So we can share your testimony, testify for you.
Yeah.
This morning when I got up, the Lord told me, He said, I want you to go, when you get to church today, I want you to go back and He said, I want you to count all the documented healings that you've had at HFC. And so I went back. Now, this is only from 2010, because for the first 8 years of the church, like record keeping and so little pieces of paper, I don't have it documented. Since 2010, we have over 280 documented healings. And that's just the people that took the time to testify and write it in. That's not everything that happens all the time. Praise God. But we're talking about miraculous from the small to the big, and God is glorified in all of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, there has to be a place today. There has to be a people today that believes in the healing power of God. Enough to do it, demonstrate it, preach it. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to dismiss in just a moment, but let's make sure everybody's saved. We're all here together. Might as well make sure everybody's saved. So look at the person next to you and just check them out for a moment. And now let's all say these words together. Let's all say these words together. Say this out loud. Listen, if you believe in Jesus, say these words. Say, God.
God.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
And He's my Lord.
And He's my Lord.
Save me.
Save me.
Heal me.
Heal me.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
So which is easier? What's easier, to get saved or to get healed? They're the same.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.